This is a Triple J podcast.
Actually, I just felt like I was treated terribly afterwards. I just had really big, heightened positive emotion. And now all of a sudden I feel like shit.
How lucky am I to be back in the studio with one of my favourite sexologists, Lauren French?
Oh, how lucky am I?
Stop that. Stop that right now. For anyone who knows Lauren, maybe follow... Can I talk about you going away?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Lauren is going away on a really, really huge trip, which we're really excited about. You'll be doing a lot of research.
I am indeed. I have a Churchill Fellowship, which means I have a fully funded research fellowship to go overseas for 10 weeks. And I am researching Indigenous elder-led cultural practice around healing after youth sexual violence. So specifically looking at how Indigenous communities and leaders and elders, you know, in other places of the world do healing and repair after that kind of, you know, peer-on-peer sexual violence that happens.
We'll have to check back in like a couple months' time.
Oh, yeah. When I come back, first stop coming back here.
Straight away.
Like, here's how everything's done. Well, no, after I write a report first. So let me do that. And yeah, then I'm going to come in and do it all.
So yeah, I am excited to chat to Lauren today because I know that it will be, you know, the last time for a bit. And the topic that we're chatting about for this episode is post-sex aftercare.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of clocked onto this term on TikTok. I feel like a couple of years ago, this just became really viral.
Mm-hmm.
But you were just saying before we jumped on mic that this has origins in the BDSM community.
Yeah. So for a lot of people, I feel particularly when, you know, 50 Shades of Grey was really huge and there was a lot of like particularly erotic literature around the kink community, BDSM community, and there was a lot of conversation there about this word aftercare. And in that context, a lot of the time, you know, and to be clear, I think I've talked about this before, like 50 Shades of Grey is not the, you know, be all or end all of kink community representation. Yes. But a lot of people saw aftercare as just like lotion on an ass after you had like a real intense spanking session. And like this was this idea of aftercare, like, oh, so I've just kind of like bruised someone a little bit. So now I'm going to give them a little bit of care because there's been that kind of almost what people viewed as harm, even though obviously it's consensual sexual play.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because of that, a lot of people are like, oh, so if I'm not doing anything, quote, kinky, or if I'm not doing anything that involves bruising or like hitting or any of this sort of stuff, then I don't need aftercare, or that like aftercare isn't part of just everyone's sexual play. And so there was a really popular, you know, few years ago then. And then, yeah, it's kind of re-popped back up. But I think it's because people have really just put it separate. They're like, well, if I'm having this kind of vanilla sex, then aftercare isn't something I need to worry about.
Yeah, a lot of the TikToks I saw, there were some that were just going viral last year around having casual sex and the person just rolling over and going on their phone or getting up and putting their clothes on and leaving. And we'll get into this, obviously, in this chat, but I would love to hear, like, having known all that background around where the definition kind of came from and what community it came from, but how it's being defined now. How would you actually describe aftercare if someone was like, what is this and why is everyone talking about it?
Yeah, in my brain, I always think of it as like, if we think about it as like bookends, I'm very aware that like sex is not defined as like a start and stop. And, you know, there's lots of erotic moments afterwards and before. But if people are really familiar with foreplay, this idea of like things that we're doing to prepare the mind and body for erotic play and sensual play and pleasure, then when I think of aftercare, it's what we're doing with our mind and body to wind down after that experience. So we might be really feeling vulnerable or really like exhausted or wrung out, or we've just like orgasmed 14 times in like an hour. And it's the things that we need to do for our body and mind to like unwind from that, to kind of come back to earth a little bit, reground ourselves before we get on our phone, go to work, do whatever we need to do.
It's interesting you mentioned foreplay because I feel like that's something that everyone really emphasizes is so important. It's like, especially when we talk about people with vulvas, it's going to take you 20 minutes to even feel fully aroused. And you know, Esther Perel, the whole like foreplay starts at the end of your last orgasm. So like foreplay just has so much emphasis when we talk about sex. But would you say, how important would you say aftercare is in comparison?
Yeah, it's interesting because I've had people like debate it with me of being like, well, Lauren, if there's not adequate foreplay, there might be sexual pain and there might be, you know, really, you know, intense physical harm. And I'm like, yeah, of course. But when we don't have any aftercare, often there's this really big emotional wound that can happen there because, you know, particularly if we've had this intense connection and moment and we're feeling all these, you know, hormones rushing through our body, we're having all these like amazing sensations, and then all of a sudden it's just done. it's really abrupt. And I think for a lot of people, we see that as a rejection. We see it as a...
abandonment. We had a lot of people say that they felt used and abandoned when someone would, even if it was their partner, just get up and leave.
Yeah. And because it's that thing of we've just shared something with like another person or people, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, I just had this really intense thing, but now you're just going as if nothing happened. And so it almost makes you go, oh, did I read that wrong? Have I... mistake and that sort of thing. And so I think there's a really big emotional harm that can happen without aftercare.
Yeah, there's what's the I saw it written somewhere. What's the actual definition for the post-sex blues that you can get? Like post-coital dysphoria?
Post-coital dysphoria.
What's
that? So that's when, and I think, you know, if we're talking about people who might say they cry after sex, sometimes post-coital dysphoria can be talked about in that way, but it's a really big drop in mood, in kind of feeling, you know, pretty awful after sex or after an orgasm or after being with someone. And a lot of the time, you know, if that's causing really intense distress, then that's something that we need to go get some like support with. But for some people, yeah, it's this other thing where actually I just felt like I was treated terribly afterwards. And now I'm having this post-coital dysphoria where I've gone, well, what, I just had really big heightened positive emotion. It was pleasure, it was excitement, it was arousal, and now all of a sudden I feel like shit.
We put this up on our Instagram and we had so many people message about this, which is, I was actually surprised because I know that, like we've said, it's been viral on TikTok, but it's still, it's not on the same level as what foreplay is in regards to like mainstream conversations around sex. But so many people replied when we spoke about aftercare and what their experience had been and what they'd like to happen and what they do after. But a lot of people said that it was something that they struggled with in casual sex or one-night stands in comparison to in relationships. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's, again, a level of comfort. And particularly I think with there's an assumption that with one-night stands or casual partners that it's all leading up, building up to sex. And then once that's happened, it's like, cool, okay, we did the thing we were coming here to do, you know, come pun intended. And then, but now we're leaving and now it's done. And like, and that's it. And like the only thing of our relationship is sex. And so our idea is that aftercare isn't part of sex. Therefore, it's not. It, you know, it doesn't compute in that moment. And I think there's a real vulnerability in being able to ask someone, hey, I actually need to be held. I want us to have a chat afterwards. I want us to have a shower together. I want us to, you know, whatever that aftercare might look like. That's a vulnerability because it feels like you're asking for more than the expectation was set as.
Totally. And that's the thing is, I think, like you said, people just go, if I show that I have any sort of emotional attachment or physical attachment to this, that it might come across as more than something casual or a one-night stand. What do you think about that? And like, just from your perspective, do you think that this is something that should happen in all one-night stands or really casual sex, but or do you think it could give the wrong impression?
Well, I think that's, look, honestly, I think it's a broader conversation around our idea of emotionless sex. And I think there's a real, you know, association with one-night stands or casual relationships that there's no emotion is allowed, which I find insane.
Because, so do
like,
I.
Like pleasure is an emotion, you know, like excitement, all these are all emotions. And what we're really saying is we don't want attachment. And I think that's really different. You can have really great emotions with someone without that needing to create attachment. Obviously, like it can, you know, really sandwich together. But I think if you're thinking that your one-night stands have to be emotionless, then aftercare is really hard because aftercare has a connectedness. It has an emotional element. And so I think, honestly, I would love people to have one-night stands that are emotional, that do feel deeply connected. You know, it's one of those things when I talk to friends and I talk about, you know, people I've met or experiences that I've had and they're one-offs, a lot of people are like, oh, like it's so sad you can't do that again. And I'm like, well, I'm not sad actually. That was a beautiful thing I had, a moment, a person, an experience. But I didn't actually want that to be. Like, I don't want that to be my forever. It was actually, that was my intention. But that doesn't mean I had no feelings, no emotions, no care. I still look back on it fondly. Like, I think there's just this weird perception that it has to be like a purely physical release, orgasm, that's it. And that's all that can be gained.
Yeah. Or that all relationships can only be that or long term. Yeah. And you can't celebrate or feel a really strong connection with someone that the relationship lasts for only a couple of nights or a weekend or a holiday. And that can't Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
It is.
To give everyone a completely non-sexual, well, depending, but non-sexual example, is that have you ever been traveling and you've eaten something that you're like, holy crap, this is incredible. Like, I'm going to remember this.
There's pizza in Italy I still think about every day.
Oh, exactly. Like, there is this, like, chocolate pastry thing in Japan I had, like, in 2016. So a really long time ago that I still think back to, like, oh, that was incredible. That was so good. Love that to pieces. And that is still an emotional connection I've made from like a thing years ago. And I only had it for like 3 days in this one place in Japan. But like, I don't think of that negatively. And when I tell people that, no one goes, wow, Lauren, you got really attached to that chocolate like pastry. And like, wow, that's like really unhealthy. And you should really like work on that.
No, everyone understands. Exactly. Everyone's like, oh my God, I pray for the day you get to have that one more time.
Yeah. So I think it's a weird association we've all created with this need to remove emotion from sex, whether it's, you know, long-term, you know, one night stand, any of that kind of stuff. And so I think because of that, aftercare just kind of gets pushed out the door.
Yeah.
Because they go, well, it's too close to emotions, it's too close to feels, and it's too close to attachment.
I'd love to chat about how to navigate that in conversations with a person if you're sleeping with them casually or with a partner. But I'd also quickly like to go through some examples of aftercare that you can do, because honestly, I reckon we had at least like 30 different.
Yeah.
Like, it was so varied. Uh-huh. And I took away from all the messages that we got and all the replies, I was like, oh, I need to fucking aftercare. Like, I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, people legitimately are having, like, they're playing games. Mm-hmm. They're like making food for each other. They're like doing baths. They're mm-hmm. like, you know, chatting, laughing, giggling. They're debriefing. They're talking about what they liked, what they didn't like. So much stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really interesting. But what are some examples of aftercare that you could recommend to anyone listening right now?
Yeah. So, I think, of course, it's varied. Like, just like foreplay, everyone likes different things to turn on. Everyone likes different things to ground and relax and unwind. And I think play with your senses. So play with touch, like what is, and that might be if you, you know, like a cuddle, if you like a hair stroke, if you want to be playful afterwards, like, you know, I'm not a tickler. I really, really hate tickling, but I know other people who that kind of tickling playfulness is like a really nice aftercare moment for them to like stay physically connected. Then we've got things around, you know, taste. So eating food together, having a like post-sex snack, you know, whether it's, it doesn't need to be so like feeding each other a chocolate covered strawberry. It could be actually we have some like noodles in the cupboard and we're going to like make those together. And that's a process of that kind of aftercare. Obviously, like the aftercare and cleaning and hygiene are often linked. So that idea of, okay, we're going to have a shower together, we're going to have a bath, we're going to like still stay connected, you know, maybe wash each other's hair, whatever that looks like. But it's part of the like cleaning, post-sex, you know, packing up, change a sheet, whatever you need to do kind of thing. I think the ones that don't get talked about as often is the debrief, is the conversation talking. I think people think it's really unsexy or even rude to like debrief after sex. But I think sometimes that's for, you know, depending on the people, it can be the best moment to do it, to actually go, whoa, that thing you just did was incredible. And I actually like, I want to highlight you. I want to recognize you. That thing you did, amazing. Why'd you do it? Because I think that's often what's forgotten, the why. Like, oh, you did a different thing. I loved this thing. Where'd it come from? Why'd you do it? Like, I'd love to know what made you decide to like use that angle, use that toy, grab that thing. And then, you know, be able to then transition into a, I want you to do that more. Or actually, then we did this thing and nah, the other thing was better. Let's do that more. And that's a really normal thing to debrief after other activities with people and like in work and all these sort of places. And I think it's a really underutilized aftercare.
And then people get so stuck in their heads about they keep having the same sex and they don't know when to bring up the thing that they, one, don't like, or the thing that they want more of.
Yeah.
And it makes so much sense to do it straight after.
Yeah. And look, if you're with someone or in a casual or long-term relationship and you're not doing much aftercare at all, I would say have a chat about it outside of a sexual situation first, like particularly if you want to set it up. And all that can look like is saying, hey, I've been on TikTok, I was listening to the hookup, I want us to talk about aftercare and I want us to like come up with a few things we can try. And literally, you know, be kind, give permission, be like, let's just trial some stuff. We're going to do a shower one time. We're going to do a food thing another time. We're going to, you know, we're going to like listen, put some like nice music on afterwards that just like isn't so maybe intense. We're going to like be playful. Maybe let's actually have like a hilarious card game next to the bed. And after we have sex, we're going to play cards and like just trial some things. And in doing that, you're going to learn what works for you.
I love that as well. In just setting aside the intention and the time, you could easily go through what you've seen on the hookup. Like I saw all these people post, like there's a post that we have on Instagram, like all these people said that they loved snacking or they loved playing games or they loved like spooning or they loved debriefing. And it's like, let's try all these different things. And even I, because I'm so lucky that I get to do this for a job, get to see all this and then take that into my own relationships. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, let's do this next time. And I saw this. And it's just such an easy way to be able to like not make it so serious and just be like, we don't do aftercare. Why don't you scratch my back after? You don't care about me. You just get up and leave, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's definitely, it's exactly that. It's the, we do so much like self-improvement quotation marks or like really trying to learn different things in other spaces, and sex is an area that a lot of people go, well, we should just know how to do it and it should just work and it should just happen and everything should just be magically easy. And when it's not, or when we go, oh, this isn't actually exactly what we want, our assumption is that we need a different person, because actually what we're not doing is communicating with our current person or people. We're not letting them know, hey, this is actually what I need or what I want to try. We go, well, like let's just chuck it in the bin and find someone else and let's see if that works. And often it doesn't, because actually that no one's mind readers.
I feel like it works quite easily when you are with a partner you feel comfortable with, but when it's someone who's more casual or a one-night stand, how would you go about having that conversation maybe around asking beforehand? Because we did have some people who quite emotionally intelligently said that they would always ask beforehand because some people might not like physical touch, whereas some people really need it.
Yeah. Well, if you're, you know, having a one night stand, having a casual partner, and you're having, which I would always recommend, a conversation beforehand about what kind of sex you want to have, what kind of pleasure we like, what kind of touch we like, you know, about the actual, the erotic sex part, then also in that say, and how do you like to be cared for afterwards? Simple as that. What do you like to happen after sex? And like, it seems ridiculously simple, but that is all it actually takes, is a like one question at the end to be like, yeah, and like, what can we do after sex that's really nice?
I love that. Angela White, who we spoke to recently, said that she loves a bath.
Yes.
Just like, it can be solo as well, which actually makes me think, what could you do for solo play? Are the aftercare things that you could do for yourself?
Yeah, to be clear, aftercare should definitely still be happening after masturbation, after self-pleasure. I think so often people tell me that they have really negative like emotions after masturbating, and it's always like, well, what did you do after you had this great orgasm? They're like, I grabbed my phone, I just got up, like I start, like I literally just went, oh, okay, I did the thing and now I'm done. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that wasn't very kind to ourselves. Like, and so I think, yeah, baths, showers, I'm a big thing on like a good stretch. Like you've just like had a lot of tension in the body. There's been like a lot of moving around, hopefully. And so actually maybe just like have a little yoga sesh with yourself. Have like a real simple stretch kind of moment. Some like nice breathing. Don't feel the rush to like tick the box and you're done and now you're moving on to the dishes or uni work or like whatever it is. Actually like be really clear that you need a bookend.
It's interesting you say the get up on your phone and scroll, because I feel like I do that, and then that kind of translates to the type of person that you're with too. It's like if that would upset you when you're having sex with someone and they roll over and go scrolling on their phone, yeah, that's the first thing you do after doing stuff with yourself. It's like,
oh, and it's a huge challenge. I mean, like, I don't want to be cavalier with the word addicted to phones or anything like that, but like it's a habit. We all have a habit with our phones, and like so many of us, the phone is the first thing we grab in the morning. It's the last thing we touch at night, and that's a really hard habit to break. And so sometimes you probably don't even think about actually getting your phone. All of a sudden it's just in your hand, and like you're like, you've had sex, it's been amazing, you roll over, all of a sudden you're checking Instagram, and it's like, oh, I didn't even consciously decide to do that. And so if you're noticing that, if you're noticing that's like a habit that you've created, try to have your phone out of reach. Like if you're someone who's having sex in a bed, don't have it at the bedside table. Like literally just put it in another room, you know, like make it funny, chuck it across the room. Like chuck it on the floor somewhere else and intentionally make it so that, because if you had to get up out of bed, your brain will go, oh, what am I doing? Oh, like what's happening?
Oh, wait, that's right. I'm 20 minutes deep in some auntie sister's like Instagram profile, like cousins, sons. Yeah.
Some teacher drama from America that like I'm not involved in at all.
Seriously, you've just lost 30 minutes. You're like, wait, I actually don't give a fuck. Yeah. But Why am I here?
Yeah, no, and you're like, yeah, but you are the asshole on Reddit. And that's and that's where you end up. But it's obviously, so if that's the habit, if you notice that, if your partner's saying, hey, I'm noticing you're grabbing your phone after sex, you know, it's not making me feel great, intentionally put your phone somewhere else.
Yeah.
Just to like make it harder, put a barrier in for you, because then it's more likely you're going to develop a different habit.
I've loved this chat, Lauren, because like I said before, I've been doing this for a while. I think that I'm like, I'm across a lot of things and I think there's so much that I need to be constantly improving on. But this was a huge wake up call for me to be like, oh, I am that person that kind of just gets up.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a real eye-opening experience to be like, this stuff is really important.
Yeah.
Take the time, have the conversations, debrief,
mm-hmm.
do something that's really like, I don't know, connecting with the person. And like, it doesn't have to just be like, all right, that we've done what we've built up to do and then let's just shower and get ready and go.
Yeah. I really think about extending the connected play. Like, be playful, be fun, be, you know, you're allowed to stay erotic after you've had an orgasm as well. I think people think, oh, okay, it's done now. Now I'm either building up to another thing. Like, no, you can still stay sensual in your touch and in your interactions with someone. And that can still be part of the winding down just as much as it can be part of the winding up. So, yeah, I think just everyone needs to give themselves permission to have a little fun.
You heard it here. You heard it here. What are we going to do without you?
When you just aftercare? And, like, probably some, like, doom scrolling. Yeah. But I believe in you all. You'll survive the 10 weeks, I promise.
Thank you, Lauren.